Everybody has, there should be three sheets everybody should have. One is just the table of contents that we're going to be focusing on. Bez Hashem, tonight I hope to do Roman numeral 1. The second, Shir HaChakas, I thought I would do the first, but it's a little too much. I think we're going to do Roman numeral 2 and 3, Bez Hashem, a week from tonight. And then 2 weeks from tonight will be 4, 5, and 6. Number 6 in Yoni Tzvias, that's just for the men. The women will be spending more time. Tonight's shiur will be very similar to what I did with the women on Sunday night. The next two will have different emphases depending on the men and the women. So that's that sheet. And then this sheet is the Makoro sheet. Refer to that as the Makoro sheet. And then this one is the pages of the Shulchan Aruch. It's not all Hilchos Nida. It's a good portion of the first half of the Simanim. I don't want to cut and paste the all different numbers of Shulchan Aruch. So we'll be referring to this. This is from Kuf Pei Gimel, which is the beginning, through Kuf Tzadik Hei. Those are the three things that we're going to be using. Just to mention, this year is Lazech Hanishmas Shena Masha Bas Chaim Shmuel. Okay. I'd like to start with, it's not on the table of contents, but with a little hakdama to this area of halacha. Out of many areas of halacha require background and introductory notes, this one is maybe the most important, to have these different hashkafa and machshava as an appreciation, and as we'll see why it's so important to have these types of ideas. Of course, the ultimate reason why we practice and follow these laws is because the Kodesh Baruch Hu told us to follow these laws. Because the Torah tells us that this is Hilchos Nida, this is Hilchos Aras HaMishpacha, and that's why we do it. But as many areas in halacha, the more we know about a certain mitzvah, the more we know Tamei HaMitzvos, not that that's the reason for it, but it helps us appreciate, makes it a little easier for us during those difficult times in terms of following the halachas. So first, let's talk a little bit Divrei Hakdama before we get to the actual nitty gritty of the halacha. The union between a husband and a wife is called kiddushin. Right, something that started after Har Sinai, did not exist beforehand. Something uniquely Jewish. Kiddushin for the word kadosh, the holy union. If you look at source number 1, Rabbi Yaakov Milisa, the author of the Nesivos, in his introduction to his commentary on Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim, which on the surface, if you look at it, is a love story. It's a graphic love story between a man and a woman. You read an English translation, that's what it is. Very graphic, lots of details. So in the Hakdama to that discussion, in that context, Rabbi Yaakov Milisa talks about the physical relationship between a man and a woman, and a husband and a wife. In the middle of line 3, he says, U'ba'avonoseinu harabim, hirshiyu anashim. Men have wicked people have dirtied it. That the only thing about the physical relationship that they focus on is the very physical desire aspect. As if just like the animals act based on instinct between the male and the female, so too the physical relationship between the husband and the wife is just that. And it becomes even worse than behemos, because we don't even know better. But says the Nesivos, I'll give you a mashal. Namshil line 6. Namshil wazeh bin migdal shahaya malachto vinoi tavniso nisala alkol. Picture a tower. A beautiful tower, gorgeous. Everybody from all over the world comes to see this tower. Tourists. Everybody comes to see this beautiful tower. The Shum Tov, Yopi Malach Lo Nerecha, I love. Nothing could compare to this beautiful tower in the world. The Ada Galo Dima, I love B'yafyo. Unbelievable. Middle of line 7. Uba Echad Va'asa Tzir Al Anayar. All of a sudden, a vandal comes and... I'm sorry, before that. First, Va'asa Tzir Al Anayar Miyofi Hamigdol. First, somebody draws a beautiful picture of the tower. So even if you can't go see the tower in person, you can see the picture of it. And you look at the picture and you're the artist. It's beautiful. Oh, you get hana just from looking at the picture. What a gorgeous tower. How beautiful. And then, all of a sudden, one day, line 9, V'acharkach ba'adam echad rama alalim, a vandal comes and suddenly scribbles over the whole tower. And scribbles and dirties it and crayons it. And now when people look at the picture, dirty, it's disgusting, it's gross. What a disgusting tower. It's nothing. And when people think about the tower, later when it's underlined, and we talk kach nimas malechas noy hamigdal b'machsheves ha'adam. And when people think about the tower, they can't think of the beautiful tower anymore. All they think about is is the sullied nature that they see it in now. They see it on the canvas. They see it's dirty. They can't disconnect and realize that inherently is beautiful. Inherently, there's something there to treasure. But all they see is the dirt and the crayons on top of it. Says the Nesivos, the end of line 11, Ukmo chena nimshal b'ina hadvarim hakadoshim. It's the same with the idea that we're talking about now. The physical relationship between a man and a woman, and a husband and a wife, is one of the most precious presents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. One of the most precious ideas, one of the most beautiful ideas. But Rahman al-Islam, the world, society has vandalized it. It's dirtied it. It's made it disgusting. It's put it in places where it's not supposed to be. And we can't disconnect from that. We're influenced by the vandal. But we have to know, says the Nesivos, that deep down inside, that physical relationship is not, it's something to be private, yes, but it's something beautiful and it's something HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to treasure and to love. The union, of course, is that we're talking about now is of a physical nature. But a husband and a wife, we know, are connected on many different levels. The psychological, the emotional, they help each other out at all different times of the month. We say in Sheva Brachos that the husband and the wife should be Reyim Ha'ahuvim, friends and lovers. Bali Musar say, every single day of the month, the relationship between a husband and a wife has to grow and has to prosper and has to get deeper. Sometimes it's as a friend. That's half the month. And sometimes it's as a lover. Half the month it's Reyim, and half the month it's Ahuvim. But there's never a time in the month when there is no relationship. Chas v'shalom. Sometimes we focus on one level of the relationship. Other times we have to do our best to focus on the other. Sometimes it's Reyim, sometimes it's Ahuvim. Chazal tell us there are certain benefits of keeping this area, the system of halachos. Some more practical, and some more spiritual and metaphysical. On a practical level, the Gemara Nida tells us in source number 2, the Flamad Aleph of Mabez, on line 5, Tanya, Hari Rabbi Meir Omer, Mipnei Ma Omer Torah Nida L'Shiva. Why does the Torah say that a Nida has to wait 7 days to be away from her husband? Mipnei Sherogel Bava Kutzba. Because if there wouldn't be any break, that the husband and the wife would have to be separated, they'll be mitragel, they'll become accustomed to each other too much, and they'll become disgusted with each other. Amra Torah te tamea shiva yamim. Let her be tamea, be separated from her husband for 7 days, kadesh tehe chaviva al baila kishas kinisas al chuppa. So that there's the excitement, like the excitement at the time they were married. There's nothing like the excitement of the mikveh night. The whole day, that's all ever the husband and the wife is thinking about. How's it going to work tonight? When she comes home, what are we going to do with the kids? There's something about that romantic feeling that our chazal want us to have throughout our lives. Chas v'shalom should end after Shana Rishona. Throughout our lives, the Torah, in its infinite wisdom, says every month we have to have a separation. And that way, things will stay fresh. Things will stay exciting. Things will stay new. We're not midragel too much. The Gemara earlier in the line before even says, why is Bris Milah on the eighth day? You know, out of all the days that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have picked, why is it on the eighth day? Says the Gemara, because Midah Raisa, as we'll talk about in a minute, a woman is separated from her husband for 7 days. Midah Raisa. And then the next day she could be with her husband. So if the Milah was on the fifth day, the sixth day, it's not right that everybody is happy and the husband and the wife can't hug each other. They're not totally besimcha. They're not together. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Milah on the eighth day. Everybody could be happy. Even the husband and the wife. Chazal, the Torah, is in tune with each feelings, the husband's and the wife's feelings. So on one level, there's a practical benefit for Taharas HaMishpacha. But then there's a spiritual element as well. Tumas Nida. Tuma is always associated with death or loss of life. We know that the highest level of Tuma is a corpse, is a dead body. But all Tumah, if you think about it, is somehow associated with this. Tumas Yoledes, according to some of the Achronim, Rav Hirsch, and others, why does a woman who has a baby become Tameh? Rav Hirsch explains that now she has less life inside of her. There was a baby born, but now there's a vacuum. She was living for two, but now there's less life inside of her. That vacuum creates Tumah. Whenever a woman has her period, whenever the uterine lining sheds, that's a loss of a potential pregnancy. That's a loss of life. Potential life, even. That creates tumah. That's on a spiritual level. That's what tumah is. But tumah is also something else. It symbolizes richlut me'akadosh baruch hu. When somebody is tumah, they can't go into the Beis HaMikdash. They can't eat the kudshim. They can't eat truma. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all life. So if tumah is always associated with misa and lack of potential life, then that creates a distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the entire tahara process is just the opposite of what tumah is. If you look in source number 3, the Sefer HaKinuch says, why does a woman have to go to a mikvah? Out of all that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have said a lot of things. What does she have to do to become tahara? She has to stand on her head. Or she has to run, jump up and down 10 times. She has to jump in a pool of water. That's rainwater connected. Why dafka a mikvah? So says the Sefer HaKinuch, Ubatam amayim shiitaru kol tamei, achshov al tzad apshat, ki ha'inyan hu kadei sheyira ha'adam es atzmo achra tfila, ki ilu nivra ba'usa shah. When a woman comes out of the mikvah, it's as if she's a new bria, a new creation. Why? What does water have to do with that? At the beginning of creation, there was water. Water symbolizes beginnings, symbolizes a bria. A baby, when they're in the mother, the baby's in water. The baby's in his mother's liquid. That's the start of a bria also. The whole world started in water. Each of us started in water. When a woman comes out, and again, she's been tameya for these 2 weeks, meaning remembering the loss of life. Now she steps out of the mikvah. She has the chance. She's a new being. She's a new bria. Potential life. The woman gets so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu now, more than the man. She could create life. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the borei. She could have life in her potentially every month. That's what the mikvah symbolizes. And that's what the Torah process is. So Hilchos Nidah, Taharas Mishpacha on the one hand, has benefits on the practical level, Bein Adam L'Chavero, between the husband and the wife to keep it new and exciting, but also Bein Adam L'Makom, the process of Tmeya and leading into Tahara. This is a very challenging area of Halacha. It's an understatement. Now, sometimes it's very unnatural, especially in our type of society. It's challenging because it goes against many of our desires. It's challenging because it's not spoken about so much in public. Rabbis don't speak about this so much from the pulpit. And one of the major issues is that there's a lack of peer support. You know, most of the time you could kind of commiserate with our friends at shul, with our chalashuddis. We could talk, we could schmooze about different areas. My chalon burns, my this, my that. Different halachas we could get chizuk from each other in. When it comes to this area of halacha, we're kind of alone. Just us and our wives. And that's what it has to be. Privacy is paramount, as we'll learn. But that makes it somewhat difficult on the one hand. Because, you know, where do we get our support from? But besides Shani, on the other hand, maybe in this challenge, there's also a way for inspiration. If you look where Soloveitchik writes in source number 4, and the Rav speaks, one of the Chamesh Drashos, he writes, if you ask me who is a Jew, I would answer one who lives a life of heroism. In my eyes, a Jew is one who is ready to live heroically, to be always in the minority, to be able to fight against himself, against his own cold logic. Our existence is heroic from several points of view. What's a hero, asks the Rav? Somebody who goes out and wins wars? What's a hero? Line 7. The observance of mitzvot is itself bound up with heroism. The capacity to break down one's will and the ability to overcome the natural, instinctive driving force in man are part of the unique Jewish talent for living heroically. The Rav then quotes the Gemara, Mar in Sanhedrin, and the Medrash, Suga Bashushanim. What happens? A man sees a red rose, all of a sudden he jumps away. Line 15. He longs for the canopy and the joys of marriage. On seeking to associate with her, he's about to be in bed with her. She says to him, I've seen a speck of blood the size of a mustard seed. He turns his face to the other side. No serpent bit him, nor did a scorpion sting him. Alas, fenced around with lilies. Suka bashoshanim. What compels the young man to move away from his bride, to whom he is drawn? An external force? A physical danger? No. Who would blame him were he to sin?
Who would criticize him were he unable to overcome his impulse?
Honey, I can't. I have to.
Who at all would know about it? This entire drama takes place in the innermost chamber, in the dead of the night. No iron wall shuts him out, but a flower bed of lilies. He has only to step on the flower bed and trample the lilies. But the unique strength found in every Jew prevents him from acting rashly, from trampling fresh and beautiful flowers which cannot protect themselves and can complain against no one. This is silent heroism, unsung strength. So yes, it's private, and yes, we're all alone, but it's the only area in our lives where it's just us and God. And that itself should inspire us to have some private heroism, because nobody else is ever going to know about it. Only Achramei Ve'esrim, us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we could stand up and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was me and you all of life. So yes, it's challenging, but maybe a little bit. It's not countering the challenge. A little bit, it could also be somewhat inspirational. Finally, the last point. It's a very nice article written by Rabbi Lookstein from KJ in Manhattan. There's an article entitled, Why Observe Nida and Mikveh in the 1990s? And he writes there that the whole set of laws which we're about to learn, Taharas HaMishpacha, is uniquely Jewish. It's a uniquely Jewish vantage point. He starts off, source 5, certain laws in Judaism are ways of mediating between the pagan and Christian approaches to physical pleasure. As we'll see, Yahadus has a middle approach compared to the other approaches to this area of life. Classic paganism worshipped the physical world. The pagan attached divine value to the physical. Yavan said, Atlas, the Olympics, the body is everything. The physical world, that's the god. All their gods were named after physical things. He considered it intrinsically holy. This was his way of justifying submission to hunger, sensual desire, passion, and lust. That's on the one hand, the pagan viewpoint, to worship the physical. Line 10. In contrast to the pagan deification of the physical, and perhaps in reaction to it, Christianity repudiated the physical. Man's appetites lead him astray. His body is evil. Sex is sinful. At best, a necessary evil. Be a monk. Right? Give up a what? Never stay celibate. Don't get married. Don't eat. Don't talk. The physical world is evil. You can't be involved in it at all. That's the other extreme. Worshipping the physical and denying the physical. What do we say? Line 21. Judaism rejects the extreme positions of paganism and Christianity. Physical pleasures are neither worshipped nor denied. They are enjoyed as God's gifts, but this enjoyment is restrained through rules and limits. At the end of creation, God sees all that he had made, and behold, Behine Tov Ma'od, it was good. This means that the physical world is objectively good and may be enjoyed, but Judaism adds with limits. We don't worship our bodies, we don't deny our bodies. We take pleasure in our bodies, but with limits and at certain times. Indulging the sex drive, therefore, is a mitzvah endowed with holiness. It is good regardless of whether or not it leads or even can lead to procreation. We'll talk about whether somebody's on birth control, whether they've already fulfilled the mitzvah, whether it's a time that they can't get pregnant. It's a separate mitzvah for a husband and a wife to be together. However, there are strict limits on when one may enjoy sex and with whom one may enjoy it. These limits are articulated in the institution of Taharas HaMishpacha. So it's a mitzvah, it's an area of halacha that's Ben Adam HaMakom and Ben Adam HaChavero. It is a very challenging area of halacha, yet hopefully, as the Rav said, an inspirational area of halacha. And it is a uniquely Jewish approach to this area of our lives, which we don't share this approach with any other religion. Let's now, with our new appreciation of this area of halacha, start going into the content itself. Just a few notes before we actually begin. Most of us here, and again, we are mostly, not all, from Ashkenazic descent following the Ramah. There are mostly not so many differences between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah in Hilchas Nida. I will try to mention those that I know of. If there's any differences that you have been practicing, feel free after the shiur to come over to me. Number one. Number two, in terms of questions, feel free to ask any Havana questions, any questions that one feels to that would benefit everybody. If somebody has a specific case which they're dealing with, which is really a independent case, please try to save that for afterwards. I'll stay here afterwards for as long as you want to be here, and just write it down so you don't forget. Another important point in terms of introduction, and this again is said by many poskim, it's obvious, I just gave it to you from Sternbach. In source number 6, in Shubas Vahnagos, Sternbach talks about the importance of a relationship that a couple has with a Rav, especially a woman, but it's a husband and a wife with a Rav. There are many times that a Rav would give a certain answer to certain people because the Rav knows that those people need this answer. And to somebody else, he wouldn't give the same answer, whether it's Lekula or Lechumra. Or maybe after the Shaila is asked, maybe the Rav, you know, a Rav is not a perfect, maybe he'll think of something 2 minutes later. And that he'll want to tell the woman back, and he won't know if it's anonymous. So again, obviously, there's a certain type of tsnius, and many times women are embarrassed in terms of calling the Rav directly. They have to find the Rav that they're comfortable with, the Rav from their own community, a different community. But it's very important to hopefully try to encourage both the husband and the wife to have some type of relationship, to bring Maris to, and to have that relationship, because it's only could be beneficial. It only could be beneficial. Okay, that's what he emphasizes, but that's just an important point to make. Two more points, and before we start. Okay, as we're going to go through it, as is my derech, those of you who have been into this year and before, we don't just do the halacha itself. I try to give some background to the halacha, the history of the halacha, in terms of giving us our appreciating the halacha a little more. We're not going to do so much background. We're going to do mostly the nitty-gritty, but at least tonight probably we'll have more background than any of the others, because we're going to have the whole background to the whole idea of what is a nida, the daraisa, and what is a nida, bizman hazeh. I am one person. I'm giving the shiur, obviously, based on a lot of research that I try to do. I will try to, if there are different opinions about things, that I will try to relay it. Again, many of you might have learned this before, and this is meant to be a refresher course, not when somebody asked me if they could come if they weren't married. I said no, because it's specifically for people who have been practicing it, the halakhas, for 5, 10 years, 15, 20 years. So again, this is just one view, one person who is trying to discuss this set of halakhas with you, and hopefully we'll be able to present it in an objective and positive way. And again, any story that I mentioned throughout, Baruch Hashem, we have a kehila who ask a lot of shailas. I generally do not remember anybody who asked. But again, so don't think if I mention a case that I remember and I'm thinking of you and I asked that shaila and happened to mention me. And again, I might have gotten the same shaila from 4 different people. So Baruch, like I said, Baruch Hashem, we have a kehila that asks us a lot of shailas, and keep asking. Okay, let us now begin. See, in your table of contents, now we're up to Roman number 1. Becoming a nida. The Torah tells us in Vayikra Perek Tezvav, in source number 7, there are two concepts nida oraisa. There is a woman who's called a nida, and there is a woman who's called a zava. In Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Yites, V'isha kisiya zava, dam yezova bivsara. If a woman has a flow, and she sees dam on her flesh, 7 days she shall be benidasa, and anybody who touches her yitma ad ha'arev will be tameh until nightfall. And the Torah, the next few psukim, discuss the concept of nida mida oraisa. The concept of nida mida oraisa is as follows, and Rashi explicates this on the pasuk in source number 8. Nida is the first time a woman, a girl, sees dam in her life, she becomes a nida. That is considered a natural physical happening that occurs to the woman every single month. She sheds the uterine lining, and unless she's pregnant, it happens every month. It is natural. It is not something that is unusual. The first time in her month she sees, that is day one. Sunday afternoon, that's day one. For the next 7 days, she is a nida. She is usher to be with her husband. If she is, it's an iser kares. Whether she sees dam those 7 days, whether she doesn't see dam those 7 days, from the time, the first time that she sees, until 7 days, she is called a nida. At the end of those 7 days, let's say Monday afternoon was day one. So Monday, she sees for the first time, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Sunday is day 7. At the end, before sunset of day 7, she does a hefsek tahara, she does a check, and it's clean. That night, she could be with her husband. Nida midaraisa is 7 days. She sees, she doesn't see, we count 7 days, she's tameya. After those 7 days, if she's clean, she is with her husband. That is the halacha of a nida. No clean days are needed. Right after the 7, she stops, she is tahor. That is the concept of a nida, mida, oraisa. There's a second concept, mida, oraisa. And that is in the psukim, a few few lines down, the next paragraph, V'isha ki yazuv zov dama yamim rabim below es nidasa. A woman who has a flow, yamim rabim, many days, not at the time that she's supposed to have her period. In other words, and this is the way that Chazal understands it, for 11 days after the 7, that is the days that she's not supposed to have any type of flow. And if she has a type of flow during these next 11 days, it is considered unusual. And it potentially can make her into a zava. Zav just means flow. Zav is a man, we're not going to talk about that now, but a zav is a woman. And if she sees 3 days straight during these 11 days, she's called a zava gadola, a big zava. What's the halakha by a big zava? Now we start getting into things that we've heard of. A zava gadola, if any time during those 11 days she sees 3 days straight, she needs shiva nikiyim. She has to wait till the dam, till the flow, whatever it is, stops. Before sunset that day, she does a hefek tahara, she does a check to see, make sure that she's clean, and then she has to wait 7 clean days, and until she has 7 clean days, she does not go back to becoming a nida again. If she doesn't have three days straight during the 11, then after the 18 days, then she goes back, if she sees again, she becomes a nida again. But it's 7-11, 7-11. That's a zava gadola. A zava gadola again has to wait shiva nikiyim after the flow stops, and then the last day on the 7th day she can go to the mikvah, but then she has to wait, and then after those she can be with her husband. That's nida oraisa, the halacha of a nida, and the halacha of a zava. Being together with a nida or a zava is an iser karis. That is the dinim de oraisa. But now we come to source number 9, the Gemara in Nidas Hamakvav and Aleph. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Hiskin Rebbe Shabbosados. Rasa Yomechad, Teshev, Shisha, Vahu. Shnayim, Teshev, Shisha, Vahain. Shlosha, Teshev, Shivanakim. Step 1 in the Gemara is, and the Ramban explains this, that even Bizman HaGemara already, and even just discussing it now, it's kind of confusing. 7 days, 11 days, when did this flow start? 3 days? Was the beginning of this in the 7 days or in the 11 days? Wait, was it at the end of the 11 days or after? Maybe it was the first of the next 7 days? Confusing. So it was confusing for them too, not just for us. So even then, stage one of the takana was when people are getting confused. Is it the 7 days? Is it the 11 days? Is it normal? Is it not normal? You see 3 days straight, you need Shiva Nikiyim. Boom, that's the halacha. That's the takana that was made, Bizman HaGemara. You see 3 days straight, maybe this is all in the Zava days, and you need Shiva Nikiyim. You're telling me it's the Nida days? No, that's the halacha. You see 3 days straight, you need Shiva Nikiyim. That's step one of the Takana. And this is explained, the Ramban in Hilchas Nida. The Ramban is a separate sefer called Hilchas Nida L'Ramban. A lot of the Rishonim wrote a separate svarim on Hilchas Nida. The Ravid wrote a Balei HaNefesh. The Ramban wrote Hilchas Nida L'Ramban. Obviously, it's they felt it worthwhile to put it together. So he says in source 10, we'll go back to the rest of 9 in a minute. Kishenismai liban shel chachamim. When the chachamim's da'as was lessened, mipnei kovet agolus v'tkifas hatzaros. It's hard. Let's say you're on the run. Let's say you live at times. They didn't have like count with it. They got a luach from Ezra's Torah in those days. You keep great calendars of 7. It was hard to keep track. So even in those days, it was difficult. Chashashu shemi yavo latos v'davar shizono kares. We don't want to mess around. We're talking about an Isser Kares here. We don't mess around when it comes to Yisurei Kares. So because of that, the Rabbanan made a Takana the Rabbanan, that whenever a woman sees 3 days straight, Teshev, Shiva Nikiyim. That's what happened. That's how it's Tezvav and Tezayin. Again, I'm not going to go through all the Makaras inside, but feel free during the week to look at it yourself. But then the next stage of the Takana, which is already Bizman HaGemara. So remember, this is something that Jews have been doing for almost 2,000 years. Says, it's back to source number 9, the famous Chumra de Reb Zeira. Amar Reb Zeira, back in the middle of source 9, Benos Yisrael Achmiro Atzman, Shafilu Roos Tipas Dam Kechardo, Yosheves Aleh Shiva Nikiyim. The next level of the Takana was forget seeing 3 days straight. The language of the Gemara is that the Benos Yisrael were Machmir upon themselves whenever they saw a drop of Dam, Shiva Nikiyim. Again, based on you can see it beferish back to the Ramban in Os Yud Zayin. Afal b'shezua takana ein ba beis meichush. Even though it's the first stage of the takana, that whenever you saw 3 days straight, then you have to wait shiva nikiyim. Even though that was powerful enough as it is to save yourself from getting mixed up, But still, Echmiru Benos Yisrael Atzman, Shafilu Rasa Yom Echad, Dam Tipa Kol Shehi, a tiny drop of dam, Upasak HaDam, and it stopped a second later? This does not mean staining. We'll get to that. This is, she sees, she has a re'iyah of a drop of dam, Soferes Law Shiva Nikiyim, Bein Shirasa Bein Sidasa, Bein Shirasa Yom Echad O Bein Zayin O Kuman O Yoser. That's it. That is the, that was the level of the Takana. And that is, we'll come back to the rest of the Ramban in a minute, but that is what the first Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Nida. If you look in Kuf Pei Gimel, now in the Shulchan Aruch packet, Kuf Pei Gimel is in Yerodei Chelek Beis, where Hilchos Nida starts. Isha Shiyatadami Makoro, we'll get to that in a minute. A woman who has dam come out of her uterus, Bein Baonis, Bein Baratzon, Temeya, etc., etc. Skip two lines. Af Al Pisha Lo Yatza Lachutz, in other words, Chumra Dereb Zera is normative halacha. Any tiny drop of dam, a woman has to wait Shivinakiyim. And the Ramban says, Asur Lahakel La'olam. You look at the last few lines of the Ramban, Asur La'adam Lahakel Barosho La'olam. This is a minhag. Again, it's a Chumra. It's a Chumra. This is not the Din D'oraisa, but it's a Chumra that Benos Yisrael, Tzidkaniyos, have done for the past 2,000 years. It's Asur L'Hakel La'Ola. There's a very interesting point of Hilamdis that the Rav Osner, the Shevet Halevi, points in source number 11. Source number 11, he talks about that, and it's on the same, we're on the same page. We didn't turn the page yet. In Shirei Shevet Halevi. Well, he has a Sefer in Hilchos Nida. Any of you learn Maseches Brachos, you know that there's a halacha that before davening, we're not supposed to have a lumdish shiur, and then the very next second, urap, supposed to learn a halacha psuka before you daven. A clear-cut halacha. That's what you're supposed to have before davening. So you're not thinking about the sugya during davening. Halavai, that should be the worst thing we're thinking about. But that's the halacha. You have to learn something clear-cut before you daven. So the Gemara in Bracha says, what's an example of a halacha psuka? We can think of a zillion examples. What's halacha psuka? You have to say moda ani in the morning. You have to wash before you eat moti. You have to bend. What's halacha psuka? The Gemara says, what's an example? Chumra d'Reb Zera. That's the halacha psuka that the Gemara says. Unbelievable. Look at what Rav Osner says. Behine, the beginning of the line one. Behine hadar on the Rav Zera, b'nazir lechmir olatzman, shafila rohus tibetzam kachardo, yoshua salav shivin akiyim, that which Rav Zera said, muchach be Gemara, to be'oso zman, hayarach minag ba'alma shol b'nos Yisrael, v'lo misa halacha. Right? It's, in the Gemara, it's explicit that it wasn't a takana originally. It wasn't a decree by the rabbis. It was a minhag of the women themselves. V'hainu dechilas ha-hanhag o-hay mikoach minhag. V'rak achar kach niskabel minhag zeh la-halacha psuka. Afterwards, it turned into halacha. It started as minhag chumra, but it turned into halacha. K'mash gozav ha-rosh benida mida amrina bebrachos. It says in brachos, ein ovim lispala el mitoch halacha psuka. V'heichidam halacha psuka. Amr Abaya ki hadr abzera. So Amr abzera, Benos Yisrael achmir olatzman, etc., etc. So it might have started out as a minhag, but it's turned into halacha psuka. And asur lahakel la'olam. And the poskim point out that though we will find kulis in other areas of Hilchos Nida, for example, the 5 days, which Bezron will talk about next week, in certain shas atzchak circumstances, the woman bleeds less than 5 days, will allow 4 days. Maybe even, you know, during Shiva Nikiyam, less bedikos, wear colored underwear. There's a lot we'll be maker with. But to have less than Shiva Nikiyam, that's kimat unheard of. To have less than Shiva Nikiyam before a husband and a wife could be together. So that is, again, other things we'll allow during Shiva Nikiyam. But for the husband and the wife to be together before Shiva Nikiyam, that chumra d'Reb Zera. So that is something that very, very hard-pressed to find any coolest for. Okay, so just to be misaki what we've done so far, the way that Nida Araisa, a woman becomes a Nida, there are two concepts, a Nida and a Zava, and Bizman Hazeh, Lamaisa, any type of drop of Dam, Tipasam Kachardal, she has to wait Shivinakiyam. There is another ingredient to make a woman a Nida Mida Araisa, and that is what's called Hargasha. You look back at the Shulchan Aruch for a minute. Look back at the page of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, again, let's read it again. Isha Shiyasa Dami Makora in Kuf Pei Gimel Aleph in the Shulchan Aruch page. Woman has dam that goes out of her uterus, Bein Baonis, Bein Baratzon, Temeya. So, number one, which we'll emphasize again, But number one requirement for a woman to be a nida midaraisa is that the dam has to come from her uterus. If the dam comes from anywhere else, she is not a nida. If she has a cut in her vaginal canal, we know that the blood is coming from the cervix, which is under the uterus. If we know there's any other maka, she has a yeast infection, and that's causing the bleeding. If we could determine in any way, that does not make her a nida. What makes her a nida is only dam mimakora, uterine blood. But now the Shulchan Aruch adds another idea, shetargish biyitziyasa. Based on a Gemara Nida, another ingredient to make a Nida Midaraisa is Hargasha. She has to have a feeling at the moment that the Dam comes out. So what does that mean, a feeling? So there are three different types of Hargasha as quoted in the Poskim. Again, two in the Rishonim, one in the Achronim. Look in the Piskei Tshuva, right on this page of the Shulchan Aruch, the bottom left, I'll say them outside. The Piskei Tshuva just starts, the first Piskei Tshuva in Hilchas Nida. Remember any of the Piskei Tshuva in Hilchas Nida? This first one, the three types of Hargashas. Three types of hargashas. What are the types of hargashas? The first is a Rambam. And remember, these types of hargashas are feelings that the woman has at the moment, not premenstrual, not a backache 4 hours before she has her period. That's not what we're talking about. That's not hargasha. That might be something that we'll get to about called a vest. But that's not a hargasha. A hargasha is a feeling that a woman has at the moment of the re'iyah. The Rambam writes in Perek Hei Hilchos Yisurei B, I think, one type of hargasha is ziyazua haguf, the type of shiver or body tremor. That's what the Rambam says. A second type of hargasha, quoted in the Trumas Hadeshen, and that is psichas hakever, which is translated as the opening of the uterus. When the uterus opens, at that moment, she has that feeling and the dam comes out. If she has that feeling, it makes her a nida. Or if she has the shiver, it makes her a nida. The third type of hargasha, and this is the most controversial one, it's a machlokes between the Chasam Sofer and the Nodav Yehuda, whether there is a third type of hargasha. The Nodav Yehuda says there is, the Chasam Sofer says chas v'shalom. That is zivas davar lach. The flow of something wet, internally, not out of the body. But internally, either from the uterus to the out of the cervix or down to the uterus, the vaginal canal, some type of flow inside. Zivas davar lach. Those are three types of hargashos, and the Shulchan Aruch says, based on the Gemara, in order for a woman to be a nida mida oraisa, you need hargasha. Fine, that's the halach. All the poskim point out that women don't have hargasha bizman hazeh. Ask them. I mean, opening of the uterus? They'll think we're crazy. I mean, that's what... all the posts can write this. The Aruch HaShulchan, even 100 years ago, it's amazing how he wrote it. Again, it's unclear what he meant, but he said, no, it's not true. It must be they do feel it. They don't realize it. Again, maybe Nishtanu Ativim. Times have changed from 1,000 years ago, or at least when the Rambam wrote it, he writes it like it's... Maybe then they felt it. But Bizman Hazeh, Bizman Hazeh, Kol HaPosukim can say that women don't have this Hargasha. But even though they don't have the Hargasha, it'll be important in a minute while we're focusing on Hargasha, most poskim assume that women today are still Nidos Midaraisa. You can't say that all women today are Nidos Midarabanan. The whole Parsha of Nidos Midaraisa doesn't exist. So AFLP, that Hargasha is an ingredient to make a woman Nidos Midaraisa, still the assumption is that women are Nidos Midaraisa today. But remember, all these are Hargashas b'shas hara'iyah. Anything prior is not Hargasha. That's another category which we'll get to. Okay, just to be mesakim so far, because now we're going to get into some very practical lamaisa halachas. What makes a woman a nida midaraisa? Number one, uterine blood. Number two, she has a Hargasha accompanied with that uterine blood. And like I said, it's from the uterus. It's not from the bladder. It's not from anywhere else. That is all... number one. But Midah Rabbanan, there is another way a woman becomes a Nida. And that takes us into the world of Ksamim, staining. A woman, Midah Rabbanan, can also become a Nida by staining. This is not Daraisa, because there was no Hargasha, obviously. So this whole idea of Ksamim is a Takana of Zera Midah Rabbanan. That has to be clear. Darabanan, based on a Gemara, and a Rashi question why this takana exists, machlokas Rashi and Tosis, we won't get into, but that is the halacha of ksamim. But because, and this is going to be the whole structure of Ksamim, because the Rabbanah knew that this was a major chumrah, that this was a whole new world that they were creating, that a woman could become a Nidah Midah Rabbanan, there are five built-in kulas, built-in leniencies to the world of Ksamim. Not loopholes. It's not like, this is halacha, oh, you find a loophole. It's not a loophole. It's a built-in leniency. Because Chazal knew that they were being very machmir in this area to create a whole new way that a woman could become a Nidah, albeit Midah Rabbanan. But because they did this, they balanced it, and they said there are five kulas that if you have any one of these kulas, she's not a Nidah. You don't need all five. Any one of these kulas, then she wouldn't be a Nidah. So before we go through the five kulas, just there is an interesting Kesef Mishnah in Source 13 that asks a big kasha on the whole idea of Ksamim. Look at Source 13. The Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam says, when the Rambam quotes Ksamim, he says, Kashali, where it's underlined, Hohavi Svek Svekahu. Right, the whole idea is a Svek Sveka, which we know usually we're mako by a double suffix. What's the double suffix? Vahavi Lele Mishri, Suffix Migufa Ba, Suffix Shlom Migufa. Number one, maybe the Dam, the Kesem, came from her, maybe it didn't. That's one suffix. Vimtim Salomar Migufa, and even if it came from her, maybe it didn't come from the uterus. You don't know where this Dam came from, so shouldn't, without, throw out the whole Simon about Ksamim. Right? As the Tessa Mishnah says, it's Svek Sveko, it should be Mako. Maybe it didn't come from her, and even if it did, maybe it didn't come from her uterus. So the Tessa Mishnah gives two answers. First answer, we don't fool around with Krisus. Even though it's not a Daraisa, even though the whole thing is Rabbana, we don't fool around with Krisus. And we'll be Machmer even though it's a Svek Sveko. Very unusual that this drop of dam that is on the woman's garment, you know, came from a different source. So that suffix is not really a suffix. So it's probably usually like one suffix. Okay. But that's just the cast of Mishnah in terms of the lumdus behind the Gzeira of Ksamim. But now let's talk about Ksamim. A woman finds a stain during the Shiva Nikiyim, or let's say she finds a stain towards, she's expecting her period in a couple of days, she finds a stain. So what do you do? Does that make her a Nidah? Does that not make her a Nidah? Well, let's talk about it. There are five, again, you could categorize it in a number of ways, but at least I have five kulas, built-in leniencies, that Chazal have when it comes to Ksamim. And just the simon about Ksamim, just to let you know, we're going to be referring to a few of them, is simon kuf tzadik. If you look on page 6 of the Shulchan Aruch packet, the Shulchan Aruch says at the beginning of simon kuf tzadik, Zvar Torah ain ha'isha metama v'lo asura l'bayla shetargish shiyosh adami b'sara. That's what we started out with. Mida araisa, a woman is only tameya and usher to be with her husband until she feels the dam come out. V'chachamim gazru al kesem shenimsa b'gufa v'v'gadea she tameya v'asura l'bayla afila lo hergisha. Right, the chachamim where goes there on stains that are found on her body or on her clothing, even though she didn't have a hargasha. V'afila b'gas ma'amasa tahora. Even if she checked herself, which we'll talk about, that she should never do. But even if she checked herself and she found herself right afterwards, Tahora, Betzricha Hefzak Tara, Shetizok Asma, etc., etc., that's the halacha about Ksamim. So what are the kulas? Number one kula, Tliya. If there is any other possible excuse which we could think of where this stain came from. And that's why many times if the husband or the wife is on the phone with a rav, he'll say, were you making chickens today? Did you go to the butcher today? I had a shayla, remember last year? A woman calls me up, she's saying she has this big blotch on her leg, which is, we'll see, basar is a bigger problem than garments. So she's like, yeah, man, what am I supposed to do? I say, why? Okay, so what did you do today? She's like, I don't know, I did a little painting. I said, you painted? I said, I never knew, like, that's in the Shulchan Aruch. I never knew that would be a case, mamish. If the woman was painting, you know, I'm like, sir, painting. I mean, she said, yeah, my hands still have red paint on it. I said, okay, Sahara, go wash your hands. Right, so that's an obvious tliya. But if there's any other excuse where we could say that this blood, this stain came from anywhere other than the uterus, if she has some type of infection, if she has pain when she goes to the bathroom, if she has anything that could help us, again, because the whole idea is the Rabbanan.
So this summons be the Rabbanans. The Rabbanans say that they were never gozer in a case where we could have any other type of tliya. If she had a gynecological procedure that day or the day before, that's also a big tliya. We have to know. That's why whenever a woman goes to the doctor, most doctors know, if they deal with from patients, to tell the woman, I'm touching you here, I'm touching you there. This type of instrument. And, you know, most procedures are... We know whether it's a problem or not a problem. Again, in general, most procedures should best be done, if medically possible, during the time when a woman's in need to anyway. So don't get into any problems. Not during Shiva Nikiyam. It's best not to go to the doctors during Shiva Nikiyam, only leads to problems. But again, any type of tliya, pain, hemorrhoids, that's also a tliya. So anything like that, please, that has to make sure to tell the Rav in terms of the kasha, of asking the question to the Rav. So that is number one. Any type of tliya. Number two, the size of the stain. I didn't mention it, but a stain, not all stains are problematic. Only if stains are red/black. Black and red, the Gemara assumes black is red, but it just got discolored. Pink, reddish, any of those are problem. Any other type of stain, off-white stain, very light stain, green, any of those are okay, right? The areas that are most problematic you have to figure out are the brown ones, which are, is it reddish or is it just brown? And that's what we'll talk about in a minute. But let's say there's this certain problematic stain. Shulchan Aruch says, based on the Gemara, but if you turn the page for a minute to page 7, the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Hei, Kuf Tzadik Sif Hei, Lo Gozer Al HaKesem Ela Im Kein Yeshbo Kegris Va'od V'Shir HaGris Who kites adashim, whatever, how many lentils, how many hairs. Lamaisa, what does this mean for us? If the stain is less than the size of an American penny, it's tahora. Even if it's mamish red. It could be the worst color in the world. If it's less than the size of a penny, it's tahora. So I was listening recently to a tape of Rabbi Reisman on Hilchas Nida. So he said there used to be a machlokas. People thought there was a machlokas. That the people in America said it was you go by a penny, and people in Israel said you go by an asimon. These are asimons in the olden days, right? Before the telecards. So there's a machlokas, so they said asimons were smaller than pennies. Rabbi Reisman said he did a check, and really it's only a visual trick. They're mamish the same exact size. You put the asimon and the penny together, but that's the shear. Rav Moshe says that a gris is a penny. So any shear less than a penny is not a problem. Where did they get the shear from? Yeah. This does not include the...
Does this include
any
time during the month?
Yeah. Including the shirim. Yes, still a kesem. We'll talk about it. This is not on a bedika cloth. That's not a kesem. That's a re'iyah, it's called. But this is on a kesem, where there's no hargasha, the whole thing is drabanan. We'll get to all the details of the cases. But it's any time of the month, if it's a stain and it's less than a grit, it is tahor. What's the svara for this? And we'll get to a lot of details about this in a minute. But this is all within kula number two. The svara for this is, and it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Again, it might sound somewhat odd, but we'll see why the svara still stands. Line 4 in the Shulchan Aruch. Now we're still on page 8. The Chol Zman She'im Bo Kazeh Hashir Anu Tolun Lomar Dam Kina Hu Afa Bishlo Harga Kina. In the times of the Gemara, when this Zerah Drabanan was originally made, right, the levels of hygiene were different in those days. Wasn't that was clean like this? There were bugs all over the place. Or creepy crawly things. So it was very possible in the times of the Gemara that if you saw a red splotch somewhere, that it was really a dead bug. It wasn't dumb. It's a very good chance that's possible. So in the times of the Gemara, Chazal estimated that up until the size of a gris, that's how big smushed bugs were. But anything bigger than that, that can't be a bug. So the original Svara, the Gzeira of Tzumim, they said, we're not going to be gozer on such small stains, because that itself is a tliya. That itself is a good chance that she sat on a bug or something. Again, they didn't have tight-fitting underwear in those days either. Everything was more open. There were togas and robes, and there were things. So it's a good chance, Chazal said, that if a woman sits down, it's a very good chance that it was a bug. So that's why originally, they were never gozer on pachas migris. So says the Chazam so far, hey, we don't have these bugs. You know, so what are you talking about? We can't use this hatter. What, a bug got inside the underwear and got smushed and doesn't make sense. So it says the Chazam Sofer, it's quoted in the Pesachei Tshuva here, I'll just mention it outside. The Chazam Sofer says no.
The original Gzeira of Ksamim. Why did they make this whole Gzeira of Ksamim? It was because more Lataharos, not Labaila. It was because in those days there were Kohanim walking around eating Truma. There were Yisraelim that wanted to keep Tahora. They wanted to go into the Beit HaMikdash. So there were a lot of Chumras that were instituted for Tahara purposes, to keep women Tahora. So that was the, and they threw in Labaila also. They threw in, not only is it for Tahara, it's also between a husband and a wife. So says the Chasam Sofer, Bizman Azeh, we only have the secondary aspects of the Takana. The Ikar reason they made the Takana was Lataros. But you don't have the secondary aspects. But we're not going to add on extra Chumras for the secondary aspects. If that was a Kula then, it's a Kula now, says the Chasam Sofer. We don't add extra Chumras. So again, that's the Svara. You don't have to worry about the Svara. That's the Halacha. The Halacha is, if the stain is less than the size of a penny, even if it's a bad, bad color, it is Tahora. And that is the number two Kula. We have a few points within this one. Yeah. Oh, we'll talk about not on a white garment in a minute, because that's a different Kula. Yeah. Right now, let's talk about it. Number one, detail. This all is within the size, the gris. What if you have a big stain? Some parts are okay, some parts are not okay. It happens sometimes. Let's say a post-it will be looking at the stain. Some parts will obviously not be a problem, but there'll be parts that are a problem. So the halacha is, according to most poskim, Rabbi Kiva Eger says this, and this is what we seem to hold, and that is, if it's all one stain, then all the bad parts are mitzarif. As long as it's connected by non-problematic parts. But if it's all one stain, so then all the parts are mitzarif, and if all the bad parts add up to a gris, so then it is a problem, and she's tameya mishum kesa midrabana. But if all the parts do not add up, so then it is not a problem. But different stains on an underwear or on a garment do not add up. If there's open space in between, those stains are not mitzarif. Again, they're mitzarif if they're one stain and they're connected by non-problematic parts, but they are not mitzarif if they are totally separated. There is an interesting point made by Rav Osner and other posts. Rabbi Neuberger makes this point, and that is a lot of times on women's underwear, there are pleats. Like underneath, there are pleats, so that when you sometimes you could hold it taut, and even though it's one stain, and you know it's one stain, but when you hold it taut, you know you could separate. You could have create a little space in between. So Rav the post can say we're not playing tricks here. If you know it's one stain, and you're just trying to, if you stretch and stretch it, you can always have space in between, microscopic space. So if you see it's one stain, then it's one stain. Obviously, if there's space in between, so then it's not one stain, and they're not mitzarif. But that is the halacha if there's a stain on, if there's a double stain. Again, a stain, this does not come up too much, but just to know, if there's a kesem on the basar of a woman, on her thigh, or somewhere else, this kula might not apply. There might be different shirim, so that should, one should ask a shayla if that comes up. Most ksamim come up on begadim, but one should realize that on the basar, it might be there are 2 days in the Shulchan Aruch about it. Okay, so that is all number two. Kula number two within ksamim. Yes, so. Yeah. That's a re'iyah. That's not a stain. That's when she has a type of dam coming out of her, which we'll talk about. Okay. Number three. So related to what Steve said before. Begadim sivuim. The halacha is that if a woman sees dam, a huge amount of red, huge, 20 gris, and it's on a blue garment, and it's on a green garment, it's on anything other than a white or an off-white garment, she is not a nida. Remember, as long as it's a kesem. Again, the whole world of tzamim, if she feels it come out, then already it's in the world of daraisa. But if it's a kesem, she wakes up in the morning and she sees all over her colored garments, there is a kesem. That's the halacha. The gzera was only on a beg alavan, not on begadim siv onim. And that is why, in a minute, and that is why if you turn the, actually, I don't. It's not here. It's later on. It's in by Shimon Akiyam. The Rama says
because of this, when a woman is not during Shiva Nikiyim, wear colored underwear. Period. Eitz HaTovah, says the Ramah. The Ramah says this. Don't get into problems. We're not looking to find Samim. So when a woman is not expecting her period, put on the colored garments. And many posts, Rabbi Willa calls, Rabbi Reisman also holds, and others say, only during Shiva Nikiyim, that's when she needs. Let's say, we'll talk about when one is allowed to in future weeks, but let's say a woman finishes Shiva Nikiyim, and let's say her husband's out of town, and she has to get up with the kids, and she's not going to go to the mikvah until the next night. Or it's the Seder night. Let's say there's a break after from Shiva Nikiyim till the mikvah. According to many posts, she could switch her underwear right then. Shiva Nikiyim is over. You don't have to wear lavan anymore. Put on begonim tzavonim. We're not looking for chumras. We're not looking to find the kesem. That's the halacha. If you find the kesem uncolored, so then it does not make her anita. We'll talk about this a little later. If her period is expected in a couple days and she starts staining uncolored, we'll talk about what the halacha is. But she is not anita yet. Well, yes. We'll talk about if she feels something come out, let's say. Most of the time, there's just, if she like she feels like she has to go and put a pad on because she's having it. That's not a kesem. But ksamim during Shiva Nikiyim, that's kemat ol ksamim. That's and as the right the, where it gets gray is when she's coming to expect her period those days before. That's where ksamim, you know, the break between ksamim and riyah, one has to differentiate. But we'll talk about those days in a minute. There is a question amongst the poskim, amongst the contemporary poskim. Again, it's one ask your rav about this. About is when we have begadim tzavonim, that's agreed. That's the heter. But is it better to wear the darker the better? Is it the black and blue? Is that the better to wear? Or use the heter? And some poskim say that. Or other poskim say wear colored, but wear lighter, like purple and green, so you know what's going on. It's not going to make her tameya, but you should know what's going on. There's different drachim in this halacha. But again, either way, both agree that on a beget sabua, it does not make the woman a nida, even if it is a gris. Remember, any of these kulas stand on their own. Again, this is why also these b'makim tzorich. Again, this shaila comes up quite often. Hopefully, I mean quite often to certain people, but. Sometimes some certain women have staining problems, especially during Shiva Nikiyim. All of a sudden they'll be clean, but they'll wake up sometimes. Or let's say there's a tzarech, there are certain types of tests that a husband and wife are going through. And there are certain staining issues possibly. Or let's say, post some talk about if a woman has a certain gynecological procedure, and she knows it was on the outside of the uterus. It's not damnida, but the doctor said it might cause certain bleeding. So in that case, the rav might tell the shoel even during Shiva Nikiyim to wear tzavua. We'll see. It's an old minog to wear lavan during Shiva Nikiyim. And chas v'shalom, one is not allowed to not wear lavan without asking a shaila. Only asking a shaila if the rav gives a heter can one not. But because based on this idea that if you find a kesem on a beget tzavua, it's not metame, that's the svara why a rav would give this eitza. Better to wear this, because again, it's drabanan, if you find it here, and it's a makam sarach, whatever, but we'll get to that when we talk about Shiva Nikiyim. Okay. And that's why also, just to add, it's best not only to have the colored underwear, but in the house, have colored toilet paper, have colored sheets, have colored everything. You know, it's best, don't have white stuff. Don't have white stuff. And also, if again, the it's come up, sometimes a woman has flowers or paisleys underwear. The Dom always finds the white in between, you know, the diagram, and just have colored, totally colored. No white with a couple designs, because the blood always, the color always finds a place. Okay, that is number three. Anything. Number four, kula. A kesem on a davar she'eno makabel tuma. Again, all of these are based on the Gemara. That's on page 9 in the Shulchan Aruch packet. Again, all of these are in the Shulchan Aruch. These aren't later kulas that the Achronim came up with. It's all in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says in Os Yud, kesem she'nimsa al davar she'eno makabel tuma lo gozru. Somebody comes finds something on the tzama makabel tuma. They weren't gozer on. Okay, so what does this have to do with me? I'm not into tuma and tara. the major issue. The major issue comes up, and that is toilet paper and tissues. Rova the Poskim, Rabbi Forrest, Rabbi Willig, Rabbi Reisman, Rabbi Neuberger, many of the Poskim, Bisman HaZeh, in Hilchas Nida, all Paskim Lekula. That toilet paper and tissues are all not Mekabel Tumah. And therefore, if a woman does an external wipe, meaning the normal wipe that she does after she goes to the bathroom, better not to look, which we'll mention again, close your eyes, there's no chiyuv to look for anything. But let's say sometimes a woman looks, once something happens, in most cases, in almost all cases, the halacha will be lakula, because toilet paper is a davar she'enu makabel tumah, according to most. There is a chumra that the Badi HaShulchan has, or Chaim Kohen says, that he says maybe if the person is holding the toilet paper, the person is makabel tumah. The person can become tamei. So if the person who holding it is can become tamei, so maybe that whole connection of the person, the toilet paper, is a davar ha-makabel tumah. So he has that chumra, but it's quoted earlier from Piskei Tshuva, but Rova the post mizmana said that I have been in touch with and asked. Have said that one does not have to be machmir like that, one could be mako, and as we're talking about, it's better not to ask, better not to look, but that is the halacha if it's found on the toilet bowl. Also, a toilet bowl is connected to the ground, it's mechuba lakarka, so it also can't become tameh. So if you find something on a toilet seat, even if it's red, even if it's big, something like that, me'ikar hadin, that will not make her nita. I think one should ask if something's happening, or one should start thinking about what's going on, but that is the halach. Number five, which is, as I mentioned it before, again, number one was any other excuse, number two was size, number three was on colored garments, number four was on makabel tumah, number five is it has to be a problematic color. I mean, there weren't gozer on all secretions that come out of a woman. Many women have stuff coming out of them all month. You know, whether they're having a nida, whether they're pregnant, whether they have a whole month of stuff coming out of there. You know, men don't realize how good they have it most of the time. You know, it's something. It's just again, it's true. It's just a totally different life. But again, so the chachamim were only goes there on problematic colors, which are red, black, reddish, pink. Anything with a hue of red has to ask a shayla. And in general, this seems to be the rule of thumb, most people are more machmir in colors than they should be. I mean, things that they should ask, which at least are a shayla, they usually assume is bad, and until they ask and start realizing that poskim try to be mako, you know, so then, again, but if there's any type of shayla that it might not be red, and again, just give a little ha'ara, incandescent lights are the worst lights to look at colors in. They always look more red than they are. Incandescent lights. Fluorescent are better. The best is to go out during the day in the sunlight. That's why sometimes poskim, if you ask them a question at night, they'll say, is it lamaisa for tonight? Can I look at it tomorrow? And they'll look at it tomorrow and they'll say, can I call you back in an hour? They want to get a better light than this and that. Again, because a general rule, and again, I didn't mention this in the Hakdamah, but I'll mention it now, and that is, more than any other area of halacha, and that is an important al-piyashkafa as well, more than any other area of halacha, a posek in Hilchas Nida tries to be mekel. More than any other area. There's kashrus, there's Shabbos. More than any, they're not looking for a hefter. They're not looking for a kula. But where, if this is about a husband and a wife being together, that's a very serious issue. And a posek does everything. He bends over backwards. He calls up other rabbanim. He does everything. He can't matzer it. He'll bring it to another rab to be matzer. You look at it. He'll a rab, and that's his job in Hilchas Nida. There's an unbelievable diak. There's a gemara in the beginning of Brachos that says that David HaMelech boasted all the other kings. Oh, what did they do with their wife? But David HaMelech says, Yadai Moluchlachos Bidam, my hands are dirty with blood. He's analyzing, I've got the exact question, Bidam Shvir Vishilya. He's analyzing the dam that came out of a woman, Latahirisha Labaila, to figure out if a woman is Tar Labaila. So the Sha'ar Mitzvah Bahalacha, and that Gemara says, doesn't say that David HaMelech was trying to figure out what the halacha was, if she was Tameh or Tahar. The lashon is he was trying to figure out if she was tahar labayla, meaning the side is weighted. Again, obviously we have to be objective. A posik is as objective as he can be. But if there is any tzava hakel, a posik tries to be mekel. And if he can't be mekel, he tries to bring it to another rav to be mekel. But again, those are the five kulos, built in kulos to the world of ksamim, which again is the way that the The second way a woman could become a nida, not through a re'iyah, but through a kesem. There are four or five other important issues when it comes to ksamim, which we still have to do. We'll be finished in about 5-10 minutes. Yeah. Right. So that's why I'm going to mention that. I have that on my list. I'll mention it now because you brought it up. Try not to hold on to the maris. They could change colors. Sometimes I'll get a package of 6 different maris. And first of all, I have to figure out if the right, what time, it was the bedika, and if there was a problem, the posting might have told you to do another hefsik, and if you didn't, it could be delayed for 2 days. Try, it's best if your rav's not in town, go to another rav, somebody else's. It's very important to try not to hold on to bedikas. Get him to a rav as soon as you can, you know what's going on, the woman knows what's going on, but that is, that's something that's very important. Even waiting until morning, right? Usually at night, if it's not the mikveh night, there's not much to be done after shkia. So it's the difference between after Shkia and the next morning, you know, doesn't make much of a difference. You might want to call the Rav because maybe he's leaving early in the morning. The color may change, but again, at least show it to the Rav that night then. Because, he'll try to be matur that night. But many times if it's at night, if it's a real question, then he'll wait till the morning. Okay. Other miscellaneous ksamim issues. Very important halacha. As we said, Anida Mida Oraisa is only with Hargasha. The Rabbanan came up with the whole world of ksamim. There are three occurrences the Gemara talks about and the Shulchan Aruch talks about. There are three occurrences which might occur in a woman's life that Chazal were worried that these occurrences masked a hargasha. And if there was a drop of dam, that would drop even, that was seen at this moment, we're worried there was a hargasha and she didn't realize it. So in the following three cases, we do not treat it as a kesem, but we treat it as a re'iyah, which is a big difference. One's the Araisa, one's the Rabbanan. And one, only the ksamim, have all the kulas, have the five built-in kulas. Three occurrences, and we'll talk about each one. Number one, urination. Hashtana. If a woman, at the second after, and we'll talk about what should be done then in a minute, if the second after urination, she would see dam, then that could be a real problem. Because Chazal were worried that maybe the energy exerted when she urinates, that might have masked some type of hargasha at that second, and therefore the dam that comes out of that moment is really dam midoraisa. It's not dam shabah, that's just mishum kesem. So that is why Eisa Tova, what women should do generally, is number one, and again, it's number one, not to look. There's no chiyuv to look. No chiyuv to search for things. And this is very hard. We can't even imagine. And chas v'shalom, I'm going to mention this the third week. I'm going to talk a lot more about the relationship between the husband and the wife in this area. But chas v'shalom, we're not people that don't look. Why do you look? Chas v'shalom. Sometimes it's natural. Women want to see what's going on there. They feel something. They didn't say that. But this is just the halacha, and this was said to the women also. So it's not our job to tell the women not to look. I'm just saying it's the halacha, what the halacha is. Number one, women should not look. Number two, though, is important also. Let's say they have to look, they want to look this and that, they should wait a certain amount of time, 15 seconds, 20 seconds, which most women wait anyway, before they wipe. Wait 15, 20 seconds. Because if you have that waiting period, then at least if you find it on the toilet paper, it's a kesem, it's not a re'iyah. Because it was this break. And if there was the hargasha, it would have come out already. So that's a very important waiting period. So number one, not to look. Close your eyes. Rabbi Willick says, close your eyes. Turn off the lights. You have to look, so turn off the lights. So that says that don't do anything. So you think that you're gonna have to, so think ahead. If you have to look, then at least, or not that if you have to look, but in general, women should accustom themselves to not wipe for 15 to 20 seconds until after, so then it can't be a mass targasha. That is number one. Number two, the second possibility of a masked targasha, and that is in aid habaduk. If a woman does an internal exam, whether it's during one of the onus, which we'll talk about, during any time that she does some type of internal check, again, we're worried that because of the pressure exerted inside, maybe that masked the hargasha, and therefore any drop, any speck of dam found on an internal exam has the halacha of a re'iyah, not a kesem. And we treat it as a din d'oraisa. And therefore, that's why whenever a woman does a bedika, doesn't have to be a gris, doesn't have to be on a davashin makabel tuma, any of those. Because that's called, none of the kulas apply. That's called a d'oraisa because
it might, halachically, we treat it as maybe a mechta hargasha, and therefore we treat it as a suffik re'iyah d'araisa. And that's why the first question, when a woman would call the Rav and say, I found blood when I wiped, was it an external wipe? Was it the normal wipe, or were you trying to get inside? That's the first question. So you have to know whether you treat it as a re'iyah, which is internal, or you treat it as a kesem. So that, again, but the that's an eidah bazuk, number two. Number three is chibur, when a husband and a wife are together. When husband and wife are together, again, Chazal thought that maybe in the excitement of the moment, that feeling between the husband and the wife, again, might have masked some type of hargasha. And if dam would be seen a second after the maisa bia, again, that might be considered a daraisa question, not a kesem. Generally, this doesn't come up, but again, it's an eitza tova that a woman and a man should not get up and wipe themselves off for a little while after being together. Again, it's mamish very soon, but in general, I think this is what is done. But again, as long as a woman and a man do not wipe themselves off within a minute, within some very close amount of time after being together, so then we could treat it as a kesem. We won't treat it as a re'iyah. Again, but these are the three instances which Chazal thought, bia, eira bazim, or hashtana, that might mask a hargasha. And these three, if dam is found the second after any of these events, it could be in the daraisa world. So that's where the best is to wait by all these cases.
If you're using your colored towel, should you also wait? It might be different than
No, but if it's the second after, then there are no kulas. Right, because color doesn't matter. You could put an eight habaduk in. If you put an eight habaduk in, that's colored. It's going to be a problem. None of the kulas apply. Okay, so that is miscellaneous point number one about the ksamim. Number two, the Shulchan Aruch says it's the last Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Tzadik. I'm not sure if I gave it to you. Maybe I did. Yeah, next page on page 10. It's four words. Os nun dalad, simin nun dalad. Ein biksamim mishum veses. A woman cannot establish a pattern based on a kesem. The woman finds a problematic kesem. Let's say it's large enough and it's red enough and it's not on a makabel toma. Let's say it was a problem. So in that case, unless she sees it on the 11th day of Cheshvan, she cannot establish her pattern for ksamim. Patterns, veses, which we'll talk about Bez Hashem in the third shiur, only are based on re'ios, not on ksamim. We never assume that because a woman had a kesem today, she's going to have a kesem in a month from now, or the same interval from now. Ein biksamim mishum vestos. Can't establish a pattern of staining. So this is very important, relevant halacha, when it comes to the following case. A woman usually, and this is kind of what Maisha asked before, usually a woman, before the period is expected, she'll stain for a day or two. Different women have different patterns. Let's say Sunday afternoon she'll start staining. Monday night, that's when the period really comes. So when's the ona? When's the veses? And when does she become a nida? What's the halacha about that whole case? So let's think about this first. Sunday afternoon, she's wearing colored underwear. Right? Because she doesn't have a period yet. She's supposed to wear colored underwear. And she starts seeing that stuff is going on. So at that moment, she is not a nida. Right? Because it's colored. It's uncolored. But what goes into effect now, and this comes up all the time, is what's called the common sense precious. And that means something's going on. I don't know what's going on. But one thing to know, I didn't mention this before, I mention it now. No bedika. When a woman sees a kesem, don't do a bedika. It can only cause problems. Why? The kesem, we're in the world of drabanan. She does a bedika, boom. We're in the world of daraisas, no kulas. I've had women call me up. I had this. I found something, so I wasn't sure. So I did three bedikas, and they were all okay. What three bedikas for? I mean, don't do one bedika. I mean, Baruch Hashem, they were all okay. But it can only cause problems. Ask a shaila. You want to ask a shaila? That's fine. But if you see a kesem, no bedika. We're not marbe bedikas. So that's the halacha. So let's say this happens. So on Sunday afternoon, she starts staining. It's going to happen in a couple of days. If you do a bedika, so what's going to happen? Should I find it problematic? Boom, she's a nida. She doesn't want to become a nida yet. Why does a woman want to become a nida early? So the halacha is common sense precious, which means the woman is not a nida yet. She saw it on colored garments. But, and she knows something's coming. Maybe something's coming. Maybe. Sometimes this happens in the middle of nowhere. Especially if women are on birth control pills. Sometimes they'll start staining. out of sight, out of nowhere. They don't know what's going on. So the posik will tell them common sense precious, which means no harchakos. You could hug your husband, you could hold his hand, you could pass things to him, which we'll talk about next week, but you can't be in bed with him. No ma'isabiyah. Common sense precious. That means until we figure out what's going on, you're not a nida, because it was on colored garments. She's not a nida yet. But we have to find out what's going on. We're not going to let the husband and the wife be together until they have a certain interval, 12 hours a day, probably the two opinions, 12 hours a day where things are clean. And let's say sometimes, like, you get these birth control shilas. Not birth control, they're on these pills, and they abstain for 2 days, and it stops. And they had their period 2 weeks ago. I don't know what the staining's about. So the halacha is, let's say she stained for 2 days and it stopped and it wasn't this heavy flow. It's a kesem, 2 days of ksamim. So the posik will say, wait it out. No archakos. You could be with one's wife, but just not intimately. No, only archakos that might lead to the ma'isabiyya. That's the only thing that we would not allow. But the halacha is that any other, it's a common sense precious, and it stops for 12 hours. Boom, they're mutaris to each other. But that's what's called a common sense precious. The staining starts. A day later, then the period starts then. Then she becomes anita. But Rove of the Poskim say, let's say Sunday afternoon she started staining. And then Monday night, the actual flow started, and it became serious. Most Poskim say that the ona starts from the flow. Not from the staining. The 5 days, counting, we'll talk about next week, starts from the staining. That you can be makel. But the ona, when you count for the next month, that goes from when the period started. We'll talk about the svaris for that next week. That is what Rove of the Poskim say. The Badi HaShulchan says this in source 14. Rabbi Willick holds this. Rabbi Neuberger holds this. Rabbi Forrest holds this. That again, the 5 days can be counted from the state when you stop being with each other because of the staining. But the ona goes from when the re'iyah starts. Just to let you know, there is another opinion. Rav Moshe Feinstein holds otherwise, and Rabbi Reisman seems to hold like this. He quoted this Rav Moshe on this tape that I had in source 15. Rav Moshe holds that no, if this is staining and you see it obviously led to the re'iyah, then this was the beginning. And so what? She didn't have a flow. This was the beginning, so the ona could even be counted from the beginning of the staining. But that is what Rav Moshe holds, and if somebody's a Rav Moshe man and they follow all the Pesukim of Rav Moshe, that's what one should follow. This is what Rav Moshe says, and if Rabbi Reisman is one's posek, or everybody should ask the local posek. But the other poskim seem to say that the 5 days could be counted from the ksamim, but ein b'ksamim mishum bestos, and that's included, and that's why the re'iyah, the ona only goes by later. Let me just make sure I didn't forget anything. So the three masked hargashos, and the Ein B'Ksamim Mishum Vestos, don't hold on to Ksamim, sometimes they change colors, never do a Bedika just because you have a Gesem, you have nothing to gain, and you have everything to lose. If a woman loses the Mara, so that's a serious Shiloh, to know what exactly was her Suffolk. I had this out two days ago, somebody called me up, they had, the woman lost it, but the woman, I spoke to the woman, and she said, well, it was basically fine, but I just wanted to make sure with my husband. She said it was basically fine. They said it was like kind of like whitish, a little bit yellow. So, I mean, it was yellow, sometimes yellow and red. She's like, no, it wasn't red at all. But I just wanted to make, it wasn't red at all. So then, yesh lo hakel. Again, it's a suffix on a drabban on here. But if there's a real serious shayla, so then a suffix really, one should be asked. And that's why you should try to ask the question right away, so you don't give any chance for the cleaning lady to throw it back into the hamper. And then it can be more of a serious shayla. Okay, so that is... takes us through Roman numeral 1, becoming a nida. Bezeshem, next week we do Roman numeral 2 and 3. And then the following week, 4, 5, and 6.